We'll shift into an election focus now. The 2018 election is in the books. There are a few races here and there to finish counting, but the major trends are clear. In our neck of the woods, California gets a new governor in Gavin Newsom. Oregon gets 4 more years of Governor Kate Brown. All members of Congress in Oregon won again. Senator Dianne Feinstein and the 2 members of Congress representing our part of California stay put. Republicans hold the U.S. Senate and increase their control. Democrats will now control the U.S. House. Nancy Pelosi will likely become the House Speaker. There's a lot to talk about, and the phone lines are open for you to talk about the results we'll be digging into in the half hour ahead. This is the return of 2 Cents Day, where you hold the floor and get ready to talk at 800-838-3760 or send your emails to jx@jeffnet.org. But first, let's get some perspective on what happened on the Oregon side. Oregon Public Broadcasting senior political reporter Jeff Mapes joins me now to talk about the 2018 election. Jeff, thanks for joining us.
Hey, happy to be with you.
So, you know, we were looking at the polls coming up to the final days of this election. And, of course, polls can be a little misleading in Oregon in particular because of the 2.5 weeks that ballots are out. But it looked like Newt Bueller stood a very good chance of knocking Kate Brown out of the governor's office. The results ultimately not very close. What do you attribute that to?
I think it was a very strong turnout for Democrats last night. You know, we had a very strong turnout among all voters. You know, I mean, the Republicans turned out in big numbers too, but you know, the Democrats just have such an advantage in registration in this race. And Newt Bueller really did not do well at all in the Portland metropolitan area. That's where he really lost it. There was a lot of talk that he, you know, was making some inroads into Portland, and people were particularly unhappy with high housing prices. You know, a lot of homelessness in the streets, traffic congestion, that sort of thing. And boy, it didn't really produce much in the way of votes. He just frankly got clobbered up here.
How did he do? Multnomah County is obviously where Portland is, and I just wonder how well he did there. Was that where he, I mean, is that like,
yeah, that's,
a 70-30,
I mean,
kind of thing?
It was 74-22. And, you know, the old size of a Republican candidate can get up above 25% in Multnomah County, particularly say get to 30%, then they have a pretty decent chance. And he did not do that. Also did poorly in Washington County, only barely won Clackamas County, which is the most conservative of the 3 tri-county area.
So did he do anything wrong in particular, or is it just that the fact that so many Democrats came out, this is the logical fate for a Democrat running for governor in Oregon, given the mismatch in registration?
You know, you can always sort of drop a list of things, you know, sort of Wednesday morning quarterbacking of the losing candidate should have done differently. But you have to say so many voters were energized by Donald Trump, who's not particularly popular in Oregon, and certainly Governor Brown tied herself to the resistance to President Trump. And I think that was probably the biggest factor in the race. If it had been a race more where national politics didn't intrude as much, then maybe voters might have said, "Okay, we'll take a flyer on a guy who says he's a moderate, different kind of Republican."
So, with this victory, we get the Democratic governor back in. Democrats control both houses of the Oregon legislature, and it looks like supermajorities with Jeff Golden winning the open Senate seat in Southern Oregon in Senate District 3. Does a supermajority necessarily mean that Brown and the legislature will push for tax increases or changes in spending, big bold sorts of things? Do they have the room to do that now?
They certainly have a little more room to do that. It looks like, as you say, that they have at least 18 votes in the Senate. Possibility of one more, although that's kind of doubtful. In the House, they need 36. It looks like they're going to be up to 38. So it's going to be a very friendly legislature to Governor Brown in that sense. I still think any sort of major agreement on taxes is going to take a broader, you know, bipartisan majority. For one thing, bear in mind any tax increase can be referred to the ballot, and that happens a lot in Oregon history.
It does indeed.
But I do think it does give them more running room to trim some tax breaks that they think may not be working right, you know, that maybe affect some more business interests. So there are other ways to raise revenue than besides just big, showy tax increases.
Do you think any Republicans be based on what you know from covering the legislature already? Anybody who looks like they might be willing to cross the aisle and help out?
You know, that, I mean, in the past that has happened occasionally. There are have been a couple of Republicans who've helped out on some tax increases. I think one of the major battlegrounds in the legislature next time is going to be a cap and trade bill. You know, this so-called clean energy bill,
aimed clean at fuel standard. Yeah.
Well, this is different than the
clean fuel standard,
yeah. but aimed at really combating climate change, and that's going to be a heavy lift, even with a more Democratic legislature, and we'll see how much they're willing to take in, you know, some of the business concerns into account on that. But that's going to be really, I think, one of the biggest issues to watch in the legislature this time.
So we had the five ballot measures in Oregon. The one that would allow cities to put out bonds for housing, 102, passed, but the other four were rejected, including 105, which would have repealed the sanctuary law, and 106, which would have banned the use of public funds to pay for abortions. Any surprises for you there?
Not too much. Once again, based on the polling, none of those four seem to have really gotten a lot of traction during the campaign. Once again, I think you have to point out all four of those ballot measures that were defeated came from the conservative side of the political spectrum. There was a very strong get-out-the-vote effort that the Democrats and their progressive allies put together, and I think that really reverberated up and down the ballot. I think it had an impact on those ballot measures in the legislative races and, of course, in the governor's race.
And then we talked about the Democrats taking back the House of Representatives nationally. There was a lot of enthusiasm for Jamie McLeod Skinner running against Greg Walden in Oregon's 2nd Congressional District, where the bulge in difference between Republican registrations and Democratic registrations is about 45,000. And last time I looked, that was about how much Greg Walden won by.
Yeah, he didn't win. You know, usually he wins by around 70% almost, and the last time I looked, it was around 56-57%, but still a strong showing for them. I mean, this change is going to have a big impact on Oregon's congressional delegation because four of the members are Democrats, and probably the most notable will be to for Peter DeFazio, whose district comes down, you know, on the edges of your territory.
Right into
it. Looks like he's in line now to become the chairman of the House Transportation Committee and wants to work very much on getting more spending for infrastructure, you know, roads, bridges, airports. And if there is one area where there might potentially be some bipartisan agreement in Congress, that might be it. Still a very heavy lift, but Peter DeFazio could be right in the middle of all of that.
All right, transportation infrastructure are going to end up high on the agenda potentially. Jeff Mapes is Oregon Public Broadcasting senior political reporter. Good to talk to you. Thanks for joining us on The Exchange.
Hey, I enjoyed it. Take care now.
You too. Back with you after a short break. Your phone calls and emails. It's 8:36 on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. We invite you to check us out online at jeffexchange.org. Check us out on Facebook or on Twitter at Jeff Exchange. Right now, we're in the midst of the return of 2 Cents Day. It is a special post-election version of 2 Cents Day. We want to get your 2 cents worth on the results of this election. A lot of people on a lot of ballots, a lot of things to consider in this election. We want to know what you think. If you're if you've been hiding under the bed for weeks just hoping it'll all be over, if you've been really enthusiastic, or any place in between, let's get your thoughts. And of course, if you've already called this week, that's okay. We're waiving the once-a-week call rule just for this week. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange and talk about the things that you got out of this election, the things that you hope to get out of this election and didn't get. Join us at 800-838-3760, 800-838-3760, or send your emails to jx@jeffnet.org. Just a bunch of tidbits to run through here. Let me take a look at some of the results in Oregon, for example. We were just talking with Jeff Mapes at Oregon Public Broadcasting about the 2nd Congressional District race, among others, in which Greg Walden, the longtime Republican, now will be, he's reaching 20 years in the job, and he'll get two more, with his election over Jamie McLeod Skinner, who was the Democratic candidate. So he pulled in 201,740 votes for about 57%. Jamie McLeod Skinner pulled in about 140,000 votes or so for roughly 40% of the measure, which is the better showing, as Jeff Mapes pointed out, for a Democrat in quite some time. Jamie McLeod Skinner was coming in with a lot of enthusiasm and a lot of people behind her, particularly with the election of President Trump and the fact that Greg Walden, as a Republican and a major leader among the House leadership on the Republican side, a bit of a target for McLeod Skinner and Democrats. But ultimately, the difference in the district is large. 45,000 more people are registered Republican in that district than Democrats, and the margin is actually bigger than what I talked about a few minutes ago, where Greg Walden ended up pulling in about 60,000 more votes than Jamie McLeod Skinner across the district, which includes really not much in the way of urban areas. You've got Jackson County and Medford. You've got just Grants Pass in Josephine County in that district. And then everything east of the Cascades, it is a huge congressional district. It is, as I understand it, the largest congressional district in the country that is not an entire state. It is about the size of the state of Kentucky, I think I've looked at in previous issues. So there's a lot going on in the 2nd Congressional District. But that was the only one where people thought there might have been a change, honestly. And ultimately, all five of Oregon's congressional districts stayed in the same hands. So let me run through those. We have Greg Walden. Oops, let me get the state numbers up here. Statewide for the state of Oregon. Hang on a second here. Okay, U.S. Representative District. Susan Bonamici won again in Portland with 63% of the vote in District 1. Walden, we just talked about, with 57% in District 2. Earl Blumenauer, 73% in District 3 in the Portland area. Peter DeFazio facing Art Robinson once again in District 4. That is the fifth straight election. Those have been the two candidates. Peter DeFazio pulled in almost 56% of the vote to Art Robinson's 41%. So another blowout there. And U.S. House District 4. Kurt Schrader won another term easily over Mark Callahan, 55-42. So, I mean, what were you thinking? Did you think we'd see something a little different in this election in Oregon, that things might turn out differently? If you're on the California side, were there some things that you saw that you were hoping would happen and didn't? Let's get your thoughts on the exchange. 800-838-3760 by phone. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. A few election tidbits to give you here. Jackson County Commissioner winners, for example, Rick Dyer and Colleen Roberts, incumbent Republicans in positions, what would be 1 and 3, both won re-election over Amy Thurin and Lenita Witt, their Democratic opponents. Jackson County Sheriff Nathan Sickler easily won a full term after being appointed last year to replace Corey Falls. In Josephine County, Grants Pass Mayor Darren Fowler wins over Ron Smith. He'll replace Simon Hare on the Board of Commissioners at the beginning of next year. And Josephine County Sheriff Dave Daniel won re-election in a very big way in Josephine County. And let's get some thoughts about that from Matthew, who is calling from Josephine County. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Good morning. You know, what is so interesting about the dynamics here in Josephine County is these were some of the ugliest races that I have been engaged in since being in Southern Oregon, which I've been in Southern Oregon since coming as an undergraduate in 2000. At least the results in Josephine County, Mayor Fowler, who ran a very positive campaign in a campaign where he was smeared left and right, including both candidates, at least in Josephine County, we have a nonpartisan commissioner's race.
Right.
And both candidates happen to have been Republican. And the local Republican Party went out of their way to smear the mayor, to fund ads against the mayor. And then we had a very qualified sheriff coming up against somebody who had an agenda to run for office and who brought that agenda into a very personal, ugly medium. And then even in the clerk's race, you know, we had, kind of like you guys in Jackson County, we had an appointee to the clerk's office who legitimately should remain being challenged by somebody who we recalled from the commissioner's office.
Sandy Cassinelli was going up against Rhiannon Hankels, the county clerk there.
Mm-hmm. the dynamics in Josephine County this election cycle were some of the ugliest and most demeaning to the political process. And it's interesting that the candidates who ran the cleanest high road campaigns ended up just, you know, walking away with huge wins. It wasn't even, I mean, when you look at the results, it didn't even look like a contest.
Wow. Okay. So thanks for giving us some perspective there. And I didn't realize things had gotten quite that ugly in Josephine County. Matthew, thanks for sharing that.
Absolutely.
All right. Take it easy. This is your 2 cents day on the Jefferson Exchange, a chance to give your 2 cents about the election just finished and where things move from here. What did you see that you really liked in this election campaign, if anything? What did you see, like Matthew, that you really disliked? I mean, did you get barraged with commercials? Did you just ultimately not watch TV for a while? Or did you try to escape to the internet where, by the way, you probably noticed a lot of election ads there, too? A lot of dirty stuff that went on in the late going in the Senate District 3 race, which was the open seat that had been occupied by Alan Bates. He died in 2016. Alan DeBoer won a special election to replace him for that seat for 2 years. And so this was a race for the full 4 years of Oregon Senate District 3. And things got wacky in the late going, where I got usually two, sometimes three mailers a day in the last week and a half or so of the campaign. Generally one for Jeff Golden and two against, or the other way around. But some of the ones where Jeff Golden was portrayed as a killer clown, they got weird. And so let's get into that race, because Jeff Golden did decisively defeat Jessica Gomez, a tech entrepreneur, to get the third district seat for the Democrats. And here's a report from JPR's Leah Moriarty.
Golden ran on his long connection to Southern Oregon, where he's lived since the 1970s, and on an unapologetically progressive platform. He went into the race with significant local name recognition, having been in the public eye for decades as a politician, writer, and public media program host. At his victory party in an Ashland restaurant, Golden said his win signaled the desire among voters to address important issues.
Feels like a good night for those who are ready to get really serious about climate action and about some bold steps to make a fairer economy in Oregon.
Gomez is a political rookie who runs a Medford computer chip company with her husband. She was until recently a Democrat and, in a district that has tended Democratic in recent years, sought to distance herself from some of the harsher rhetoric of national Republicans. Liam Moriarty, JPR News.
So Jeff Golden going to the Oregon Senate. Interestingly enough, this is a race he ran for 28 years ago. I remember covering that when he ran against then-incumbent Len Hannon, who has since died and for whom the library at Southern Oregon University is named. So Jeff Golden finally getting to that office. It was an interesting one for us to cover, because Jeff Golden is not only a former employee of JPR, he actually hired me to be his assistant, his substitute host. So we had to definitely keep things at arm's length there and tried to be as fair as we possibly could. And that is our job. So Jeff Golden is one new face in the Oregon legislature. The other new face is Kim Wallen, who beat Michelle Blum Atkinson 54-46. To win the House District 6 race. That's where Sal Esquivel, the Republican, chose not to run again. And as I looked, honestly, I was able to pre-write for the web last night the copy about Oregon legislators, because the trend was so clear so early that all the incumbents were going to cruise to re-election, and I didn't have to change anything in the copy. They all did win re-election. Only one of them, and that would be Katie McCone in Coos Bay, got under 60%. And I had a feeling she might have been a little vulnerable, because that is a Democrat running in a district that went for Trump in Coos County 2 years ago. And Katie McCone still managed to win 56-44. That's in House District 9. Dallas Hurd and Roseburg won the seat that he'd got appointed to earlier this year. Senate 4, Floyd Prozanski Cruz. Senate 6, Lee Beyer won re-election. House 1, David Brock Smith in Port Orford won re-election. Gary Leaf in Roseburg was appointed and got elected last night. He replaced Dallas Hurd, who moved on to the Senate. House 3, Carl Wilson, Grants Pass, easy win. House 4, Dwayne Stark in Grants Pass, easy win. Pam Marsh, Ashland. House 5, easy win. Cedric Hayden, Roseburg. District 7, easy win. Paul Holvey, Eugene, easy win in District 8. Mike McClain, the House Republican leader, from Powell Buttes, he represents northern Klamath County, won easily 72-28. Werner Reschke in Klamath Falls in House 56 won another term as well. The two California legislators in the House, Assembly District 1 is Brian Dolly, Who is also the Assembly Minority Leader, won re-election over Kayleen Sisk, who's the Winnemem Wintu Tribal Chair. That was a cakewalk for him, 65-35. That's the district representing Shasta and Siskiyou counties. Assembly District 2 on the coast, Jim Wood won re-election over Matt Heath, 67-43. And in California Senate District 2 on the coast, Mike McGuire won again over Veronica Jacoby, 70%-30%. What impressed you about this election? What were some of the things that you really wanted to see happen that did or did not happen? Curious to know what your thoughts are. This is your chance to put your thoughts on the floor at 800-838-3760, 800-838-3760. Or send your emails to jx@jeffnet.org. Talked to Jeff Mapes from OPB earlier about the statewide ballot measures. So Measure 102, which amends the Oregon Constitution to allow local bonds for financing affordable housing, passed. Now, there are no actual dollars attached to this. It just says the Constitution has changed to allow this to happen in cities. So there are no projects that actually are created by the passage of 102, but it does at least open the way for that to happen. That was the only one of the statewide ballot measures in Oregon that passed. So 56% yes, 44% no. And then Measure 103, which was supposed to be a preemptive tax or preemptive blocking of a tax on groceries, down to defeat, 57-43. 104, which would have required a 3/5 legislative majority to approve any bills that raised revenue, even if it wasn't a tax increase, it was just a reconnection of the tax code. That also went down to defeat big time, 65-35. Let's see, Measure 105, which would have repealed Oregon sanctuary law, went down in flames, 63%-37%. Measure 106, which would have prohibited spending public funds for abortion, also down in flames, 64-36. On the California side, let me see if I can dig those up, because we had a mixed bag of results. One of the things that happened on the California side when we're talking about housing is the fact that the idea of rent control in California actually stayed. Actually, what I'm saying is that the law that prohibits most cities from adding rent control did not pass. So the cities that have rent control now that were grandfathered in get a chance to keep that. But otherwise, there'll be no new use of rent control in the state of California because that particular proposition passed. Another one that passed, that did pass actually, is the one about daylight saving time and whether California will actually have daylight saving time. So this is something that enables the legislature to make some moves if it chooses. It won't necessarily go that way, but we will see where things go with that. Join us on the Jefferson Exchange. This is your chance to give your idea about the election. You vent yourself. Give your 2 cents worth about this election on the Jefferson Exchange. 800-838-3760 by phone. 800-838-3760, email address jx@jeffnet.org. Here's a call from Ann and Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you. Well, as you know, I've been watching the political process since 1948 when I was 6 years old, and I am so relieved that the Democrats have taken control of the House of Representatives. I feel that the last 2 years, there has been no accountability whatsoever about the Trump administration and all that Devin Nunes did was block any effort whatsoever to investigate things that were going on.
He really cozied up to the people who are supposed to be investigating in the White House.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was terrible. I was saying before the election that if we didn't get a Democratic takeover of the House of Representatives, that democracy or any pretense for democracy was over in the United States. Anyway, I hope that things are going well for you, and I'll be watching to see what Jeff Golden does in the state legislature.
You got a lot of people to know him. Name recognition certainly helped him. And one question for you though is you know, given that the Democrats will control the House now and have the power to at least raise the topic of impeachment, whether they should?
Well, You can raise impeachment in the House, but it has to be voted on by from the Senate.
Yeah, the trials in the Senate.
Mm-hmm. Senate is firmly in the control of the Republicans, and so you know I don't see any chance that I just think it would be a waste of time. I think that investigations and showing the corruption and foreign influence and all this sort of thing, also the Mueller investigation, sooner or later we ought to have some word about what they have found, and that having the Democratic control of the House will go a long way of getting that information out to the public.
Okay. Ann, thanks so much for calling. Ann and Eugene joining us here on the Jefferson Exchange on this 2 cents day, this special edition of the Jefferson Exchange that we can take your 2 cents worth on this election. Time left to talk about it. 800-838-3760 by phone. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. I want to take a look. I was talking about the California propositions. So let's see. Measure Prop 1 was bonds to fund affordable, veteran and affordable housing. He passed. Prop 2, to amend the existing housing program for mental illness to provide more housing for people mentally ill, passed. A water bond, Prop 3, failed. Bond for hospital, children's hospital construction, Prop 4, passed. Senior property tax reduction. This was would have provided some property tax reduction for seniors in the state of California. Interestingly enough, this was like the real, no, we're not doing Prop 13 in California anymore kind of view to me. And this one went down in flames, 58% to 42%. Likewise, there was a chance for California voters to repeal a fuel tax, and that failed a little closer, 55 to 45 roughly. I mentioned the daylight saving time period change. That was almost a 60 to 40 victory for the yeses. So it doesn't happen right away. The legislature has to consider it. But that did pass by the voters. There was Prop 8 to regulate kidney dialysis treatment charges. That's a no. I mentioned the rent control on residential property went down big, 62% to 38% in California. A move to make sure that emergency ambulance employees stay on call on their breaks. That actually passed in California, 59 to 41. And then cage-free chickens, farm animals, and confinement standards. That passed big time, 61 to 39, as Prop 12 in California. What are you thinking about what happened out there? 800-838-3760 by phone to talk about what happened in this election or what you wish had happened. You can also send an email to jx@jeffnet.org. Here is a call from John in Grants Pass. Welcome back to the Exchange.
Hello.
Hi.
I had some disappointment about Jamie McLeod Skinner losing so big. I'm a Democrat who really would like the Democratic Party to veer towards the concerns of rural Democrats rather than just being the party of the big cities. And she is such a good representative. And running against Walden, I guess, was just too tough. But I feel very thankful to her for the energy that she extended to the people of District 2. And, I just feel good about her.
All right. Thanks for that call. Appreciate it. And we do actually have a clip of Jamie McLeod Skinner that I want to point out here, that Jamie McLeod Skinner is the first challenger against Greg Walden to get more than 30% of the vote in the district since Walden's first election in 1998.
My hope is that it really pushes him to be more accountable. This campaign, in being a tighter campaign, has really forced him to show up a lot more and to be much more responsive to and listen to the needs and concerns of folks in our district.
That's Jamie McLeod Skinner, who, of course, lost the race for Congress District 2 in Oregon. She says a Democratic majority in Congress, which will exist now, leaves better odds for her to challenge Walden again 2 years from now. Walden, meanwhile, says he looks forward to focusing on forest policy and opioids in his next term. It's interesting, though, because the Oregonian and the Mail Tribune both endorsed Greg Walden for Congress and both used as their rationale that we needed Walden's clout in Washington, in Congress, because of him being in a leadership position. But now that Walden is in the minority party, his clout is negligible. He is going to be the senior member on a couple of committees, but that's about it. He's not going to be chairing anything because he's not part of the majority party anymore. So it was interesting to see that rationale used for his return to Congress. And so he returns to Congress, but the rationale doesn't exist anymore. An email from Joy S. in Talent. She says, it is baffling how many people don't vote. It takes an army of people going door to door, calling, texting, and writing postcards, begging people to fill out a ballot to get a modest turnout. We receive voters' pamphlets packed with information and opinion. Ballots arrive in the mail. Voting in Oregon is as effortless as it can be. People in other states and countries go through crazy inconveniences to vote. It's shameful. That from Joy S. in Talent. Thank you for that, Joy. Douglas County, let me go through a few more tidbits before we leave the hour. Douglas County Commissioner Tom Kress won a close race over Alex Scarlatos. Second Amendment protection measures on the ballot in several counties, and listen to how differently these turned out. Jackson County's Second Amendment protection measure failed miserably, 57% to 43% no. Second Amendment protection measure in Douglas County, big time yes, 73 to 27, and likewise big time yes in Klamath County, 64 to 36. And I'd already mentioned the California legislative races. So just all kinds of stuff going on. Did I mention that Dianne Feinstein won again over Kevin De Leon? So that is that's a fix there going on. Congress District 1 and 2 in California staying in the same hands. Jared Huffman and Doug LaMalfa going back to Washington. Huffman now in the majority party, LaMalfa now in the minority party. Big election. We'll be digesting this for a while ahead. Thanks for listening. Thanks for taking part here on the Jefferson Exchange.